I don't know what's happening in my life, but Christmas comes around a lot sooner than it used to. And birthdays fly by, and you look up and people have strangely changed. What is it? Life goes on. And I want to encourage us at the end of a year to do something that I want to apologize to you for as your pastor. There's something that I haven't done well in my life. And the more I thought about it and prayed about it this week, the more I looked in Scripture, the more I realized that I'd been just absolutely wrong. You know, there are moments in life you better stop and embrace the celebration of life. What do you think? How many of y'all find that if you don't celebrate the moment of life, that moment's gone? And you don't get it back. How many of y'all realize there's just some moments you can't go get back? And so I want to encourage us to do something that the Bible calls us to do. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And you know what? This ought to be a day of thanks. Hillview, I am thankful for this church. I am thankful for what God is doing in this church. I am thankful that it's continuing on. And as we pause in saying goodbye to an old year, I think we ought to stop and we ought to celebrate some of the things that God's done among us. Here's why I'm bad. I'm a very driven person. That's the way God made me. Now, part of that, you know, if I wasn't a driven person, then we'd still have one sanctuary full over here at the chapel, and we'd have been okay with that. But you know what? God's called us to go on. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, this particular church, I'm not saying it's for everybody's church, but I do know it's for our church. How's that? Okay? And I love all the churches in Bowling Green, but I love one a little more than I do the rest of them. That's our church. Because that's what we're supposed to do. In Hillview, I want to encourage us to do what we're supposed to do. And I don't think we're supposed to worry about what any other church is called to do, but guess what? I do think we're supposed to be serious about doing what we've been called to do. And I think over 16 years of us journeying in faith together, there's one thing that we know for sure Hillview Heights is called to do. And that is to tell people that don't know Jesus Christ about Jesus Christ. We're an evangelistic church. I'm not ashamed of that. I have some of my colleagues that go, well, y'all are an evangelistic church. Like we're not like advanced or something. You know, that we're not quite as couth as they are. We're not as smooth as they are. We're not as politically as correct as they are. You know what? I want to thank you all for something. I am so glad that y'all don't care about any of that. I'm at 8 o'clock. I know y'all don't care about any of that. And you know what? I want to thank you through the year because you know what? There have been many of you in this room that have said, Pastor, hey, let's never lose what we had in the beginning. And I want to talk about that. Let's never lose what we had in the beginning, okay? But I got to be real honest with you. As we get ready to go into a new year, it's going to be harder as we go on to keep what we had in the beginning unless we get everybody involved. Okay? Listen, we can't help it. We're a large church now. You know, remember I used to say we're a large church with a small feeling. You know what? But the truth is we're a large church. The parking lot's crowded, the building's crowded, and there are a lot of people here. Hallelujah. But we want to keep what we had in the beginning. And so there's something I want to talk to you about. We got to always be thankful for what God's doing. And I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, 1st section. And Paul had a knack, and I think the Apostle Paul, he was a little honoring. If you read the New Testament and read some of his letters, he'd get a little honoring. I mean, Paul laid it out straight, man. He said, these are the things that God appreciates. And sometimes he would have to write and say, these are the things that God doesn't appreciate. And he didn't hide them. He said, here it is. He laid it on the table. But there's one thing the Apostle Paul did that excites me in all of his letters that the Reverend Ayers hadn't done real well with. We need to give thanks. How many of you all have missed giving thanks in life because you were on to the next project? I noticed this at Christmas when people open their presents. Especially, you can tell how children have been raised by the way they open their Christmas presents. I saw some children this week when they opened their presents, the first thing they did is they looked at the item and then they went for the one that gave them the item and they immediately said thanks. Before they even fully appreciated the item, they appreciated the giver. And then I saw kids that just, They would open that present and they would just push that one aside and they went immediately to what was next. Those are kids that are fully immersed in the American culture. I don't want to pause. I don't want to thank the giver. I don't want to see where this came from. I don't want to embrace the moment. I got one thing. How much stuff did I get? And I just opened the next stuff. And guess what? I even heard some of them. Now I hang around some crazy kids. After they had opened up a pile of presents that covered them up, they asked this question, is there any more? And I wanted to say, not for you. You got too much as it is. But I want to encourage us today to embrace what we have. How many of y'all today just need to take an afternoon to embrace what you have? You know what? Every year I'm glad my wife stayed. I'm serious about that because, you know, I'm a difficult person to live with. Anybody else a difficult person to live with? I mean, I'm thankful for that. I mean, I'm crazy, man. I got ideas. You know what? Elizabeth knows that I could come up with an idea at any moment without any logic and totally turn her life around. And guess what she says? I married him. That's a great freedom. That's one reason this church has become what it's become. I thank God for that. I've been around some of my buddies that have tried to pastor, and guess what? They didn't have the freedom in their family to do what God had called them to do. My wife has always given me the freedom as a pastor to do what God's called me to do, even if it messed her life up. That's pretty cool, isn't it? See, I'm just giving you something. I thank God I got two kids. You know, sometimes I forget to be thankful that I got two kids that are doing the best. They're not perfect. Now, my kids aren't perfect. I know some of y'all got perfect kids. I don't have perfect kids. No doubt. I know their DNA. I know who their mom is. I don't really know who their dad is. But you know what? I thank God that God's given me the privilege of being a parent. You see, how many of y'all embrace some of the very... You know, George, I thank God that you're alive here and breathing a year later after the doctor said it might be bad. See, we got to embrace some of that stuff. This morning, we just saw three baptisms at the 8 o'clock service. Y'all know how thankful we need to be for that? Reverend Mitchell, let me help you. We, in Southern Baptist life, we've made another monumental achievement. Instead of accelerating our evangelism convention-wide in this 206 year, we are so wonderful, we declined it that much more. I want you to know that I live in an America that has a church that could care less if you go to heaven or not. Could absolutely care less. I live inside a convention called the Southern Baptist Convention, which is 48,000 churches in this nation that take up an abundance of money that manage to average about 6 baptisms a year. You saw 3 this morning. Now some, they'll come after your pastor and say, well, numbers aren't important. Really? Well, if they aren't important, then why did the Bible pause and say, I fed over 5,000? If they aren't important, then why did the Holy Spirit take a moment to say, there were over 3,000 baptized the day the church was born? If numbers aren't important, I want to know, then why did God record them? If they're not important. I want to know why Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world. Not some of the world, but into all the world. And you tell them the good news that I've given you. You live out the salvation that I've established in you. And you go and you teach them everything that I have commanded you. And guess what? Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. You want to see a church move with the Holy Spirit? Then get a concern with what God is concerned for. Guess what? God seems to be pretty committed to lost people. So much that He would die on a cross for them, arise from the grave with them, three days later, for them and with them, and say there's a new life in the house. I think we ought to get thankful about that. What do you think? Y'all feel that intensity? You know what I want to thank you all for? Y'all are committed to that. But I think it's time to go crazy. Because honestly, not every one of you can tell me you've been in the baptistry. True? There's a lot of you in this room that have been in the baptistry. Now listen, don't go get the guilt trips on me. When I tell this kind of stuff, y'all want to go, oh my God, I must be less of a Christian because I'm not in the baptistry. No! I just want you to share your faith. You know what it is? The devil's convinced you you can't do that. And I want you to know if you'll just open your mouth, it'll happen. And some of you say, well, I can't talk to people. Oh, baloney, I hear y'all talk about everything. Now, that's not true. See, we got to get to the truth. Truth will set you free. We talk about the things we're invested in. And guess what? You're invested in God. And here's what I want to thank God for. Is because a lot of you could care less about what other people think. And I want you to get to the freedom of life. The day you could care less about what others in this world think is your step into living a free and abundant life. What does God think? God thinks you're wonderful. God thinks you're worth saving. God thinks you're worth loving. God thinks you're worth... He thinks you are, guess what? Worth empowering. I want to show you 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I always thank God for you because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus. Ditto. All year long. You know why I love pastoring Hillview Heights Church? It's not because we're the fanciest or the loudest or we got the cardest music. All that's irrelevant. You know what I thank God for is the grace that I see in this place. I mean, a guy like Harold who stands up a few months ago and says, I came out of the drunk section. You know, you just don't get that in every Baptist church. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, every Baptist church has a drunk section, but nobody talks about it. At least at Hillview, you go, we got a drunk section, man. We got a section. You know what he was telling me? He said, we got a section in our church where God's welcomed people that usually aren't welcomed in the church. And we've welcomed them to the grace of God. And he stood up in the baptistry and said, I found the grace of God in my life. And he was baptized. Then a few months later, he baptizes his wife. And then at the end of the year, he baptizes his young child, Tristan. Now, somebody put a price tag on that for me. If that's not what God's called us to, then I've misread the whole book. But I think that's what it's about. Amen? Amen. I want to thank you all from September to this moment. Y'all have gotten serious about the gospel. But guess what? Here's what I want to encourage you to. What would happen, this is kind of my sermon today, and it's not going to be long. What if everybody did it? I just want to dream for just a minute. What if everybody did it? What if all of us said, I want to thank God for the grace given to you, and I want it to pour out of you. Freddie, what would happen if everybody did it? See, I can't imagine what would happen in Hillview Heights Church. Let's just give it average. 3,000, and I'm cutting a conservative average in this church. If 3,000 of us led one person to the Lord, we'd see 3,000 baptisms in 1 year. Now, here's what I'm telling you, Jeff. Here's what's so cool. I'm not talking about something that's not possible here. I'm talking about something that's very possible here. Why? Because of the grace that's been given to you. I want you to see this. Church, I think you're going to see this in 207. You're going to see more people be healed in 207. What if everybody believed people could be healed by Jesus? I wonder what would happen. Y'all don't look at me with that look in your eye. I believe God heals people. Listen, I know he does because guess what? I believe you can be in the drunk section or the drug section or the sexually addicted section or whatever section, and you can come out of that section of your life and you can come to this altar and you can say, Jesus Christ, here I am. I want a new life. I want what did have a hold of me to be broken, and I want you to take hold of me, and there'll be a new life given unto you that is unimaginable. I believe that's possible in the gospel right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. What do you think? See, I thank God. See, we got to get that kick in us. I thank God for the grace given in you. Not in me, in you. So, Billy Lowe, you got to keep teaching. You've cut your hair and you got glasses. Who knows what's going to happen next? You know, who knows? Merle can read 7 words now. We may get him up to 15 next year. What will happen then when we're teaching? So here's what I want to tell you today. Every year that goes by, there ought to be this challenge in your heart. I'm going to get better with Jesus than I was the year before. I'm going to get better. Somebody needs to hear what you have going on in Jesus. I'm just going to simply say, let's share it. I don't want us to lose what we had in the beginning in this church. And here's what we had in the beginning. You ready? People that loved other people. That's it. Y'all can argue with me. I'll win the argument. We didn't have fancy music. Music didn't draw people to Hillview Heights Church in 1991. We couldn't hold a note. And those of you that came here, you know I'm telling the truth. The preacher wasn't smooth in 1991. He's not in 06 either. But you know what? The truth was smooth. You see what I'm saying? But there was something beautiful, something I want to thank God for. There were a group of people that welcomed people with the grace that had been given to them. And that's what made Hillview Heights Church. And I thank God for that. I'm glad we don't have to wear a suit and tie every Sunday. But I'm glad we can wear a suit and tie. You see what I'm saying? I'm glad that we can have long-haired people and short-haired people and bald-headed people and multicolored hair people and multicolored skin people. And we can have people come under one roof and say, you know what, this Jesus Christ that is God, that is the Son of God, has loved us all, and everybody can come to the gospel. I'm glad that our church doesn't just say that. You can look at it and it is that. I'm thankful for that. I just want to celebrate a little bit today. Donna Walford, I thank you for people like you that took a great risk. Miss Betty Lois, you took a risk 16 years ago. Did y'all ever dream this would happen? Me either. I mean, if I was out in the country, how many of y'all ever been out in the country? Out in the country, you don't have an idea, you have an idea. I had an idea of what God might do, but guess what? He went way past my idea into what He was going to do. I thank God that God will do what He's going to do. I want you to know what Paul said to these. He said, I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way. I want to thank Jesus Christ for enriching this church in every way. In all your speaking and in all your knowledge. How many of y'all know more about God this year than you did last year? Well then praise His name. You're doing what He told you to do. Praise His name. We need to praise Him every once in a while. How many of y'all are glad to know the Holy Spirit didn't stop teaching you? All right? And so you're going to get in this rhythm. If you want to be enriched in every way, let me give you one thing you got to have. You got to learn how to say goodbye. How many of y'all need to say goodbye to some stuff that didn't work? You just say goodbye to it. Here's something I guarantee you will never work. Sin. How many of y'all tried some of that still in 206 and found out that it was the same stinking stuff it was in 205? Let me bring you some good news. It will not change in 207. There's some things that'll never change. Let me tell you some things that'll never change. Guess what? Sin sucks. Can I just say that bluntly where we get it? Please don't be offended. It does suck. Now, I know some of you that are very religious say you shouldn't say that. Well, I won't tell you what it is. It's death. And death is not friendly, and sometimes we need to use the terms for sin that really make it like it is. It kills us, it confines us, it binds us, it limits us, it tortures us, it keeps us where the devil wants us to be. But oh, let me preach just a minute, and let me tell you about the grace of God. It unbinds us, it brings us to life, it frees us, it lets us move, it equips us to speak, it equips us to walk, it takes us to heaven, it never lets go. Lo, it is with us always. Huh? That's the new year. I want us to be given to grace once again. Amen? Amen? And here's what it means to be given to grace. You got to say goodbye to stuff in your life. Here's the thing. If you'll just live, it'll go away. 206 for me, guess what? I can't ride a water ski like I used to. It finally gave it up. You know, first for a minute, I was like, man, I can't believe this is happening to me. But guess what? I said, hello. Did you know you can eat desserts at the lake and it's just as fun as skiing? Said hello. That's what I'm talking about. Guess what? We're going to say goodbye to some things in our lives and we're going to say hello to some things in our lives. But guess what? In all of that, embrace God. Some of you are going to finish your last semester of college this year. Praise God. Guess what you're going to embrace? Your young adult life. Yesterday, I was blown away. I did the wedding of Anthony Stinson. Anthony Stinson has been in my ministry almost since the time he's been born. He walked into my office and I said, what are you doing in here? He said, I got premarital counseling. I said, you're too young. Go home. You know what he reminded me? That life had gone on and Christmases had gone on and Thanksgivings had gone on and New Year's Eve celebrations had gone on. And he had come to a time to embrace the grace of God in marriage now. We got to walk with people and run with people, and we got to remember this always. God has equipped us to do great things. Watch this. Here's what I'm going to tell you today. It's very simple. Say goodbye to things today that need to be gone, and say hello to things that need to emerge in your life. The grace of God needs to emerge in all of our lives. I thank God for the grace that's been given into this place. Let's keep sharing it. Amen? What do you think, folks? Let's not lose what God's called us to. There are some things we got to do at Hillview. We got to continue to start churches. We're going to be about that. Some of you say, well, I don't agree. Well, just don't agree. Y'all need to understand something. There have been so many people disagreed with me that I don't even care anymore. Does that help? I mean, I've been so callous to that. In fact, I got a letter the other day and said, well, our church is not what it was in 1994. Well, no kidding. There's a rocket science. It's about six times bigger. In 1994, because you have a lot of y'all always talking to me about 1994. Let me help you. Okay? In 1994, the grace of God was wonderful. In 1994, we baptized 54 people. And guess what? Those 54 people were grateful to receive the grace of Jesus Christ, weren't they? That was 1994. Well, guess what? If we'd stayed like things were in 1994, J.D., guess what? We'd have baptized 54 people. Okay? Let me help you. In 2006, we baptized 478 people. And guess what? Every one of them are glad to not be going to hell. Every one of them are glad to not be going to hell. Now, hold on. I don't think you want to keep things the way they were. Here's what you meant. In 1994, I met Jesus. And I had a great experience with Jesus. Or in 1998, guess what? That's great, that's wonderful. But guess what? If you really understand Jesus, you're going to want to pass that on to somebody else.
That's right.
You see, you're going to be thankful for the grace given unto you. And you're going to be thankful for the grace given unto them. Just like Paul said, I want you to see something, because guess what? We're going to have a little presentation here. I just want you to see that. How many of y'all want to stay where it was in 1991? Can y'all believe this? We had a $92,000 yearly budget in 91. I looked at that the other day. I just hadn't seen it in a long time. And I said, I was insane to come to this church. And you know what I did? I started laughing. God blesses insane people. It was insane for Him to send His Son in Bethlehem. It was insane for God to become flesh. It was insane for God to go die on that cross and rise from that grave, because you know what? Some aren't going to accept Him. But you know what God was willing to do? To take the risk with the some that are. And guess what He said? Those that will, God is ready, because look what He said. You've been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. You know what? There's one thing I know about Hillview. Only God could do this.
Amen.
What do you think? Only God could do this church.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
If the Holy Spirit was to get out of here, we'd kill each other, wouldn't we?
Right.
I mean, you really think about it. We're just too diverse. But God said, I'm going to take a bunch of diverse people, and I'm going to take some unusual people, and I'm going to put them under grace, and people are going to see the beauty of God. That's life. And He goes on, He tells us this. Therefore, verse 7, I want you to know this. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Underline that. Here's the lie of the devil, in my opinion. Accurate opinion. The devil has convinced the church over a series of years, and when I'm talking about a series of years, a couple of hundred years, that it doesn't have enough to get it done. Doesn't have enough glamour, doesn't have enough lights, doesn't have enough zazz, doesn't have enough power, doesn't have enough umph. That's a lie out of hell. The Scripture just clearly told us that you have everything you need. You have everything you need to live out the great things of God if you will just release them.
Amen.
I'm going to encourage you in 07 to release the grace that's been given into you. Church, I'm going to challenge this for just a moment, you know. We need some more space around here. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to harp on that. I'm not going to stand from this podium. I'm not going to jump up and down. And I'm not going to ask people to give their money. Because you know what I know? You don't give till you believe. Now, that's true. How y'all like the truth right here? You know why people don't tithe? Because they don't believe. They don't believe that God has enough. They don't believe that God can provide enough. They don't believe that God can be in charge of their income. They really don't believe God's in charge of their life. They believe they're making it on their own. They believe they got to make it on their own. And guess what? They really believe in the end, on the day of judgment, they're going to be all right. How many of y'all want to go to heaven, stare Jesus in the eye, and owe him about a million and a half over your lifetime? Because God may ask you, what did you do with your 2 or 3 million that I gave you in your lifetime? And then what did you do with my million and a half you never gave me? He may pull back the curtain and tell you this. This is what I was going to do with it. But since you didn't give it, we couldn't use that resource that I had already given you. Now, I don't know why it gets so quiet in here when I tell you things like this. Y'all ought to be going, that's right. Why are you not saying that? I mean, it's the facts, guys. What do y'all want me to do, lie to you? I mean, do you really think that it's going to be all right on the day of judgment when we've not done what God asked us to do? Do you really think it's going to be all right? Now, I know some of y'all got a hippie Jesus. I got a holy one. And Jesus forgives us and he reestablishes us. But we act this way because we've been given to. Not because we've been exempt, but because we've been blessed. I want you, how many of y'all have been blessed? Well, think about it. How many of y'all ate too much this week? How many of y'all got more than enough? I mean, we got more than enough. Come on, I just want to be honest about our culture. We got more than enough. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Take what you have and who you are and just bless people with it this year. Does that make sense? That's just the church. I wish I could make it more complicated and sound sophisticated. In fact, I wish I could put it in a book that had a workbook to go with it and make a lot of money writing a book. But you know what? I can't. It's just that simple. Live it. God's given us much. Now do something with what he's given us. And I think we got to do it in a big way. In the new year. Ready? And we'll finish up. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, I want you to hear this end of the year, 07, is faithful. So here's what I'm trying to tell you today. God's not going to let go of us, so we're not going to let go of him, and great things are going to continue to happen. Amen? How many of y'all want to stay 1994? I hear that occasion in our church. I just wanted to address that to you. 54 people came to know Jesus. There'd be a lot of people not living the grace of God if we stayed where we were. Now listen, I know I'm human. Guess what? I'm going to be very honest with you today. Sometimes I just want to stay where I am. You know what? Sometimes I wish it was 1994. You could count the budget up in your head. Meetings didn't go very long. Didn't have a lot of staff to keep up with. Didn't have a lot of personnel. Didn't have to have a lot of procedures to follow because there just wasn't a lot to chase. I remember when L.A. McCubbin could figure the budget in his head. It's not hard to figure $500. But you know what? If you look down that list, I want you to look down that list. How many of y'all got one of these annual budget things? I want you to look down this list. And I know some of y'all are going to get real spiritual on me and tell me numbers aren't important. Really? But you know what? You tell the 478 souls that are on that number that their salvation's not important. Because you know what? It really is. And for them, they could care less if you got blessed or not. They were glad they got saved. They could care less if you got your favorite song in worship that day or if you didn't. They could care less if you got your favorite parking place or you didn't. They could care less if you got recognized or didn't. On the day that they got saved in the year 2006, they were glad they got saved. Huh? Am I calculating there? I'm just saying, guys, Hillview, you know what? One of the things we can't lose, one of the things that God has done, it's not leadership, it's God's leadership. Guess what? We've learned to not be so concerned about our stuff. And we've been able to say, God, may someone come to know you today. And you know what? He's been faithful to do that every Sunday. You know why? Because there's a lot of people that pray. There's a lot of people that preach. There's a lot of people that sing. There's a lot of people that love. And everybody can welcome somebody. Amen? Amen. That'll keep us going in 07. What do you think? If you're visiting with us today, take that back to your church. This will work in every church. Love people. Welcome them. Let them know that Jesus got something great for them. I just want you to see. Where do we stop?
Somebody tell me, look, we're in open discussion now. I'm going to call our BAM team up because we got to pass this budget. But I just want to talk to y'all for just a minute. It's the end of the year. Where do we stop? Now, some of y'all tell me in anonymous letters. Tell me right here face to face under the Spirit of God. I mean, if you're going to be a big boy with hair on your chest, stand up and get hair on your chest. Where do we stop? You tell me as your pastor where we stop. Thank you, Timmy Young, when Jesus comes back. I'm telling you, church, that's the honest to God truth. When does this stop? Some of you ask me all the time, when's this place going to slow down? I said, when we're dead. Amen. You get to rest a long time when you die. So you might as well be doing something while you're alive. Moving something forward. Gosh, y'all don't know, man. It keeps me up at nights, literally, thinking about what would happen to this city if just this church did what it was supposed to. You see, here's what I think may be some of our problem. We've seen God move a little bit, and we think it's a whole lot. Just because we've never seen Him move at all. You know, if you've never been 2 miles an hour, 2 miles an hour seems real fast. But if you've been 150 miles an hour, 2 miles an hour doesn't seem like you're moving at all. Does that make sense? Guys, do you realize that if we would really just exercise the grace that's been given us. Be thankful for what God's done. Realizing that each one of us is an important part of the community of Christ and everything has a mission with God. Have a heart to reach people. Do you realize that one day you may be looking on this sheet right here and you'll see 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 baptisms, and that will be as common to us as it is to see 400 baptisms? It really would. If we did what? If we did what? Be faithful. See, I still believe this. If we'd all just tithe, we'd never go to the bank. I don't want to be offending any bankers. I love y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all. But I'd love for the bankers to be coming to us and say, hey, listen, don't y'all think y'all can get a loan this time? We'll cut you a good deal. But I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, do you want the ultimate? Here's what I've always found. If you can play on the first team, why play on the B team? Now, ain't nothing wrong playing on the B team if that's all God's given you. But I just don't think that we can look at our congregation with all that God's done and say God's called us to do a little bit. What do you think? Amen. Man, we got smart people in this church. We got people here that, I mean, a lot of them are called doctors because they ultimately know what they're talking about in that particular subject area. We got some that have them that don't know what they're talking about. We got people here that can make money hand over fist. Why do you think that is? You know what I love about Hillview? And nobody knows who they are. You know why? Because people don't come to Hillview and go, look at me. I'm super rich. Because people at Hillview go, we could care less. We care less. You see, I don't give thanks for what you've done. I give thanks for the grace given in you. I give thanks for what Jesus would do in you. So I encourage you this afternoon, pray a little bit, dream a lot. And just dream with me as you pastor. What would happen if everybody did something to move the kingdom of God forward in the year 2007. But I just want y'all to know, sometimes when y'all think I'm crazy and I'm hard-headed and I'm stubborn, and I'll confess, I am all those things. But there's a reason. Because you see, if you stayed in 1995, there were just 140 baptisms. And if you stayed at year 2, and watch this, you can see where we acted up. Did you notice how we, in 2002, we had 419 baptisms, and the next year we had 283 baptisms? You know why that was? We decided to get off focus. We decided to get involved in everything but reaching souls. We decided to be involved in everybody's business instead of God's business. And guess what? There it is. Watch. It's on the fact sheet. And here's what I love about this sheet. You can talk all you want to. I'm involved in athletics. Boy, there is no other arena where people talk all the time. You know what I love about a ball game? At the end of the game, the talking is done. The talking is over. I love teams that come off the field. We're really better than you. Just point at the scoreboard. You may be, but you weren't tonight. You weren't this afternoon. You didn't prove yourself. You know what? I thank God. Look at this sheet right here. What page number is it, Mark? Doesn't have a page number. It has annual budget totals. The third page. Thank you, Elizabeth. The third page. From 91 to 207, has God been faithful? What do you think? Now watch this. Can it all be achieved if we do what God tells us to do? Got a big plan. 07, 07, 07. Pretty cool. Three sevens. Triple seven. Does anybody know why that's good? Triple sevens. Good. There's somebody that's honest. You win a lot of money if you hit all sevens. Hey, some of y'all knew that too. You just got, I thought, you know how I know you knew that? Y'all putting your heads down like that. You know why? It's really good. It's God's numbers. Seven, complete. Let's go. God's already completed it. Here's what I want you to know today. Whether you agree or not, I you know, listen. If we'll just live it, God will do it. And so what I'm really calling you to do in 07 is not do a bunch of stuff. Just live it. Just be a bunch of stuff. Be God's stuff to the world. Is that plain enough? Is that simple enough? Yeah. Now listen. Are you going to get everything you want at Hillview? No. You going to like everything that goes on? No. When you get real disgruntled, I want you to come to me, and I want you to look at this sheet, and I want you to bring it to me, and I want you to let me know which people you want to send to hell that got reached on the Sunday that you didn't prefer. And when you get like that, the best suggestion I have is you come to this altar, and you get on your knees, and you put your face, your forehead, I'll give you a technique right here, on the carpet like this, and you say, "Dear God, forgive me. I am one arrogant child. I think from all of human history, you've built the whole world to just please me. Lord, you've saved me, but right now I'm acting real lost. So find me again and help me realize that you've created every human being. Not just me, but every human being. And let me be a part of their salvation." We keep doing that, guess what? God will keep blessing this place. I'm just going to be truthful with you. Here's the record. Here's the scoreboard. Hillview, you know why this place has worked? We've done our best. We haven't always succeeded, but we've done our best to live by God's preference and not ours. And that means this is an uncomfortable place. Because when you live to please God, you're guaranteed to offend some humans. But you're also guaranteed to do this. When you live to please God, you'll learn that He's faithful, no matter what anybody else says. Amen? Y'all been lovely. Give God a hand just for what He's done this year. How many of y'all thank God for just what He's done? Folks, there's no way we could end this service without giving a what? An invitation to do what? Yeah. Man, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, what you've heard about today is how much Jesus loves you. And if you're visiting, you're standing in a church that's committed to make sure you know this. All of us have sinned. Jesus is real and He died on a cross so that our sin could be forgiven. Mystery. And 3 days later, He arose from the grave. Now, I don't mathematically understand that or scientifically understand that, but there's the mystery of reality. It is true. Jesus arose. And He said, "Whoever believes in me shall not die but have everlasting life." He tells us to come and repent of our sin. That means, "Lord, I'm sorry. And Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and I want you to come into my life." And guess what He said? "Every living human being that does that shall be saved." The First Testament said, "Blessed is he who calls on the name of the Lord." And the Second Testament says He has a name, Jesus. You know what? How many of y'all would be faithful enough, risky enough, to come and say, "God, just come at this altar for just a moment, end the year at the altar"? How many of y'all be willing to end the year at the altar? Be a good place to end it and begin it. What do you think, Pastor Key? You know? And come and pray right now and say, God, you know what? Everything you want me to do in my life in this new year in 07, I want to line up with it. I want to line up with it. And God, I want to give thanks for what you've given. But Lord, I've realized today you've given me everything to do great things. And I'm telling you guys, listen, there's no time but what's going on right now. That kind of prayer would release this church. I thank you all for voting in a budget. I thank God for our BAM team. Man, they watch this. This is the first time I've worked with a group of folks that had to work with money and they're spiritual about it. God, how do you take these resources? And they really are about winning people. Making sure people know Jesus. So if you need to come to Christ today, right now, the pastors are ready to talk to you about that. The Holy Spirit's already brought you there. You know what? Sometimes we just need to come and pray and say, God, use my life in whatever you want me to do, Lord. You want to see your life change? Pray this prayer. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll be willing to do it. Pray with me, Lord. Right now, we just pray in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for the good things that have gone on today. God, you've reminded us that you've been faithful. You've never let go of this place called Hillview Heights Church. God, you love people in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and you love people in Bangladesh, and you love people in Darfur, Africa, and you love people in Russia. And Lord, you've called us to be a witness unto the world, and I pray that we would do that in everything you've called us to do. Lord, I thank you for everybody that was baptized in this new year, but I already give thanks for the thousands that will come to know Jesus Christ in the year to come. And Lord, I pray that we would hold nothing back anymore in our spiritual lives. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would become a tithing church. We would become a praying church, even more than we are now. We would become a worshiping church at a level we haven't even seen yet. Lord, I pray that you put anointings on these musicians that they don't even know about yet. Rhythms and tones and pitches that only heaven knows that they would begin to know and sing. God, I pray that you begin to design this church in your making. Lord, I pray that we say goodbye to petty behavior and hello to faithful behavior. Lord, thank you for what you've done. And listen, I just encourage everybody to come up to the altar and give something to God today. I don't do that much, but today, I encourage you, if the Lord's pushing on you, today, right now, you come in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Let's end it at the altar. Even if you don't come up here much, just come up here and see what it's like for a minute. Okay, we're not going to stay long. Just for a minute. It won't hurt you. If you hadn't been here since you got saved and you're 90 years old, probably good to come back before you check out. Just see what's been going on. Come and let God just take this moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.